don't interrupt the song. This sounds like something to tickle my funny bone, but we better get back to content here. We're joined by Julie Murphy with the Arizona Farm Bureau and Kevin Dansizen of the Dansizen Dairy. What, and we're right in the middle of a conversation. We've got it pasteurized. Next is the homogenizing step. And if you've got a question or a comment, you can call in at 1-888-767-4348 or text to 411-923. What does it mean, Kevin, to homogenize milk?
Homogenize is you put the milk under pressure so that the cream won't rise to the top. That's all it is. We put it under, I shouldn't even say a number, but we put it under pressure. Well, people always say they want their cream to rise to the top until it actually happens. You know, we'll do non-homogenized milk for people, and they're like, "Hey, what's the stuff on the top of my bottle?" Well, that's the cream, you know. So
that's
we homogenize
the good stuff.
It for that keeps that milk consistent. So that first of all, when we first started, I wasn't going to homogenize milk. I thought, you know, I'm going to do it just like we did on the farm. And what happened was I bought a non-homogenized milk that was in the store already, and I had a bowl of Raisin Bran, and I poured it on my Raisin Bran. A big chunk went out, and I'm like, oh, we're not going to do that to our customers. So that's how that came about. So that's all homogenization is.
Romy, because it's been so fun hearing Kevin and their family story, just know that if anybody does a search, literally just putting in dairy on azfb.org, up will pop all the profiles over the years that we've done on our Arizona dairy farmers, and their stories are fascinating. You're meeting the family. You get to know how much they care about their own family and their animals, and it's really encouraging and neat to read these Arizona farm family stories.
And that goes not only to just the dairy farmers, but every rancher that we've had in here. I mean, this is a generational industry for the state. We were going to bring Eric Rovey in, but he's off flying airplanes in Alaska for the summer. His dad's busy. He can't come in because he was busy milking, get this, sheep, because he's got a big production of sheep cheese that they're working on at the Dairyman's Co-op. So he couldn't make it in. But if I remember right, they are over 120-year in the West Valley farm family.
Just the Roveys.
Yeah.
And that's a very typical story. We have so many generational farm families just in this state alone that we could spend the next 20 years trying to cover them all, and we still wouldn't get every story told. And that's what's special about Arizona agriculture, is because we have these generation farms, and that's sustainability. And we have some depth, true domain knowledge, as I like to say a lot of times, about our agriculture. And the best person you need to be talking to if you want to hop into agriculture is the Dansizen families about dairy, or the Kerrs, or the Roveys. If you want to learn about cattle ranching, you should talk to the Small Houses or some of my other ranch families. So it's really neat to know this depth of knowledge is coming out of our Arizona agriculture environment.
And I've got a question here from a texter. What is this I just drank, this coffee? That is very good.
It's our cold brew coffee. It's just three ingredients: cold brew coffee, our milk, and sugar. Yeah, it's.
Well, I will.
It's very good. I'm sipping on it too.
And I'm going to take that. I'm going to pick up some chocolate milk because my youngest one has suddenly discovered chocolate milk. But I was watching her make it the other day, and she would take a glass of milk, and then she would take just like the chocolate you would put over ice cream, like Hershey's. I'm like, oh, I'm bringing you some Dansizen milk home to show you what real chocolate milk is supposed to taste like.
Yeah, once I go glass, I never go back. That's what we always say. So,
well, this texter wants to know, what other flavors do y'all have, and are you coming out with anything new? Because there are a variety of different products, milk products that y'all make.
Yeah, so we have the whole all the way to skim, 0% fat. We do chocolate and strawberry. Strawberry is starting to become a lot more popular. And then we do the coffee that we talked about. But we also do some crazy flavors. We do a root beer. It tastes like a root beer float. That's starting to become a lot more popular. And then we do an orange, too. We call it Arizona orange. It tastes like a creamsicle. We actually are going to launch juices this month in June. We're going to I know it's National Dairy Month, and we're going to start juice, but there's a juicery here in Tempe, and they just squeeze oranges, and we're going to bring in trucks and have orange juice, and we're doing a lemonade and a strawberry lemonade. The lemonades are kind of cool. It's just straight lemon juice, and then we actually take Sedona water, and we're mixing it with the lemonade and
above or below Slide Rock.
I don't know. I just know it's from Sedona.
What the fun thing that too is when we posted yesterday that you were going to be on the show on our Friends of Arizona Farm Bureau Facebook page, the entire conversation was about your flavors and what each customer's favorite flavor was.
Yeah. And everybody has a different preference.
A different favorite. Yeah. One of the ones that posted was his favorite was root beer. So
we also do milkshakes at the Chase Field with the Diamondbacks. So we do make an ice cream mix for just specifically for them.
And Christmas time, you'll make eggnog?
Yes, eggnog. That's a real popular one. This year, we're going to come out with a new flavor. We're going to have a peppermint eggnog also, along with our
yes.
traditional eggnog. So we're working on a pumpkin spice, too, but we haven't had that perfected yet. But the peppermint eggnog is really good.
And I love eggnog, and I've enjoyed your eggnog flavor now for what? I think you've done it for at least 2 years. Maybe one.
3 years.
Three years from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, I would put in a vote for whole buttermilk. I don't know why I can't buy whole buttermilk in Arizona. I fly to New Orleans, and I got two things on my mind. A dozen raw oysters and a quart of whole buttermilk.
Not together, I hope.
I have the buttermilk first.
Okay. All right. I mean, there's got to be some Dixie beer involved.
Oh, man. If I would post my recipe, I have to make my own whole buttermilk on my kitchen counter shelf. And I promise you, Kevin, if I posted my buttermilk, Sunday morning buttermilk biscuit recipe, you could sell every ounce of whole buttermilk that you could make.
Well, let's work on it.
Let's do it.
You're not the only one requesting it, so we can. We're working on a bunch of stuff right now. I mean, we're on our fourth year, so like 3.5 years. I got to tell you, when we first started, we invested a bunch of our own money in this creamery, and we didn't have any stores that we were selling into. It was the dumbest business plan I've ever. I mean, it's so dumb if you think about it. Because the milk's coming off the line. We're like, well, now where are we going to sell it? Well, fast forward, we're in about 370 stores now.
That's awesome.
So if we can develop a whole buttermilk, we can get it out there real quick.
The end of my every day is a glass of whole buttermilk just at room temperature. That's how I celebrate the end of my day.
That's pretty good.
So we'll put out a poll on Facebook, and we'll say, who wants buttermilk? And
let's
then we'll look to the Dan Zizens to develop it.
There we go. Let's do it. That's what we're all about.
And in fact, you guys should post, anybody listening, let us know if you want buttermilk.
Or anything else.
Or anything else. Any other flavors. Because you guys are real serious on how you develop these flavors.
Yeah.
They're not random.
It's kind of an interesting story how the flavors. We kind of knew what we wanted to do, but it's a funny story. When we first got started, I was making it in my wife's kitchen. I had like some... the sugar and the flavoring, and I was trying to make different ones. And I finally get something that I liked, and I forgot what I put in. So I'd have the cocoa there and all that, and like, oh, now I forget how many ounces of this and this and that. So there's a really, really good ice cream shop in Levine called Scooptacular. His name's Nindy. And after cleaning up my mess in my kitchen, I went straight over to his ice cream shop. I go, Nindy, you got to help me, man. You have the best ice cream in the world. You got to help this poor dairy farmer trying to figure this out. So these are the flavors I want. And we worked real hand in hand with that little ice cream shop, and he helped us develop the flavors to a T. And it's been a really cool relationship ever since.
Do you have one flavor that is ending up being the most popular currently, or does it fluctuate?
Chocolate by far is our big one. And oh, I forgot to say, that coffee milk right now is actually going to be on sale in the Fry stores this month right now. So
okay,
I got to say things as I remember it, otherwise I forget.
I understand that. So we've got it now, basically pressurized, homogenized. Goes to the store after that point.
Yeah, we'll store it in our coolers, and then as the orders come in, it goes straight out.
Who puts the expiration or sell-by date on there? Is that the dairy? Is that the grocery store?
No, we do it. We do tests. So ours is actually 24 days from the time it's bottled. A lot of times it'll last.
Is
as
your
long
sell
as it stays,
buy or expire?
That's expired date.
And, I mean, is it really expired? I've more than once. And morning comes along, you're in a hurry, you pick it up, and you're like, oh, that was 3 days ago. And you open the top, you're like, smells fine.
That's actually the most accurate test is the smell test, to be honest with you, because it's all about temperature. Again, if it gets above 40 degrees at any time, and it's probably not going to be there. But if it stays below 40 and even like 38, you're going to get sometimes a week or 2 weeks past that date.
Okay, so it's put on by the dairy, and it's for about 24 days after it's been homogenized.
That's what our tests show. Yep.
And the smell test is a good test.
It's the best one.
All right, good.
And for the UDA co-op, they're the ones that put that on there too, correct?
Which one?
The sell-by date.
Yeah, every individual handler or producer has their own date. It's not really mandated by the state. It's, well, for us, we don't want anybody to open
have
up the bottle
experience.
And have a bad experience. So we're motivated to make sure. Yeah,
yeah,
we're really conservative.
Put a conservative date. And the only reason I mention UDA or the United Dairymen of Arizona is that's a co-op that's owned by our dairy farmers here in the state of Arizona. And even though you do your own bottling for your branded, you still supply a lot of your milk to the co-op, correct?
Yeah, the co-op's has been a great resource, and we're a great partner with the UDA. So anything that we need, we bring into our facility, and then anything else gets sold through their channels. So they've been a great supporter, and most of Dairymen in Arizona are part of it.
Right.
And this co-op, are they the ones that then separate it, and they're who's making the cheese, who's making the butter, who's making the cottage cheese, the Philadelphia cream cheese? Is that all being done by, or do they separate it and they say, okay, we've got to this much milk over here for this quantity to fill that order for the cheesemaker?
That the second is, so I consider, well, UDA, United Dairymen, has a powder plant, and so anything that doesn't come through those orders to the cheesemakers and stuff goes to our primary product at UDA is powder. Arizona cheese is over there too, but that's kind of a smaller deal. But the powder is a big thing. But they're just, I consider UDA a broker.
And so, UDA also does their own cheese curds.
Yes.
They do those. So you can get local cheese curds, and they actually sell them at their Milk and More store right there, like right in front of the plant, you know. So
Broadway and Hardy.
Yeah, Broadway and Hardy. So that,
but it's in Costco. I think those cheese curds are in Costco and some other spots. In fact, you can at our creamery store, Dan's Ice and Creamery store, we have those cheese curds. So,
how many gallons of milk does it take to make a pound of cheese?
I think it's 10 to 1. So 10 pounds of milk will make 1 pound. Now it depends on the protein levels and stuff like that. Like Jersey's is a little bit more efficient than a Holstein cow because it's higher butter fat and protein content.
And what would they do with the whey, the leftover? Because that 10 gallons, you know, you add your, I cannot remember the name of what you add, but it makes the curds happen. And I mean, it's quick. And all that leftover, what's called the whey, and it's, some people say they drink it. It's disgusting. at least goat whey is. I've never made cow cheese, but the goat cheese we used to make, man, that is horrible.
I use a whey protein.
Once you take the curds out.
I use a whey protein. That's very popular today.
Yeah, there's all kinds of new products coming out with that whey. I mean, they're working on drying it. They make dry whey, powder whey, and that goes into like protein drinks and stuff like that. So I'm not real. That's not what we do. So
you're not the cheese side.
No.
You're the dairy, the milk, the cream.
Yeah.
Well, when we get back, we've got the final thing. What do you do with managing the other side of the cow? You have a lot you put in the front end of it for its nutrition, and there's a lot you get out of the middle and the udders. What happens to the end product that comes out the back?
Well, yeah,